The book of the Acts of the Apostles is the book of the Bible which tells the story of what the followers of Jesus did and what happened with them after Jesus was raised from the dead. It begins by telling of Jesus' final words to his disciples and his ascension into heaven. It describes how God's Spirit was poured out upon the disciples and how they began to speak aloud to others about Jesus. And then it gives this picture of their lives. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I remember moving into the parsonage here in Pacific Beach like it was yesterday. A parsonage, by the way, is the house owned by the church and meant to be the place where the pastor lives. And it's been a wonderful place for me to live all these years and my family as well. My daughters were 1 and 4 years old. Unfortunately, the older one couldn't be here as the second visual aid. Brazil is just way too far to come, especially right before the World Cup. It's just not possible. So they, at that time, were enchanted by the cardboard boxes, great for forts and tunnels and little houses and special hiding places, as well as by the packing paper, which crumpled up and lying all over the house created a wonderful sense of chaos, and when spread and smoothed out, was fun to draw on. They liked eating snacks and meals out in the backyard, which during those move-in days was somehow more tranquil and maybe even safer than the house itself. My mother was present to help me keep an eye on the kids, unpack the boxes, and decide where the pictures should be hung. It was quite an adventure. The house, which you still own and which will be the home of your next pastor and his family, was indeed a wonderful place then, and it is even more wonderful now because together we've made a lot of improvements and enhancements which have been quite outstanding. And it quickly, that home became home base from which I began to get to know you. In my photo album from the year 1991, the first church members to show up are Mary Webster. Excuse me. Can you somehow know when I'm about to cough and then turn off the microphone for a minute? Mary Webster drove an orange Volkswagen Beetle and was the nursery caregiver every single Sunday. Frank Sabatka, who was the mastermind of furniture and carpet replacement, as well as washing machine repair, along with his wife, Pat, and their daughter, Tony. Charles Hope, with his dazzling smile and wearing a pith helmet for reasons I can't explain. Bev Ferguson, who was married to Ted and long ago moved to Florida. Harry Voss, who even as a child was part of the United Methodist Men's barbecue team, so we should not be surprised that he grew up to become a chef. Arlene O'Donnell, at that time our extremely capable church financial secretary, and we were subsequently received another extremely capable church financial secretary in the form of Dick Versteeg, but he inherited that job from Arlene, and she had a good-humored and wonderful sidekick by the name of Lucille Brown. There was Venus Evans, who served cookies on little white doilies and enforced a 2-cookie-per-person limit. Nina Condonellis, who sometimes played the piano for us. Janetta Woods, who was probably the most sturdy and independent person that you could ever hope to meet. Marty Chamness, who was instrumental in starting New Entre Casa, the halfway house for women leaving prison, as well as the partner's mentorship program for young adolescents who were in need of some guidance. And then Ruth Callahan, who outlived 3 husbands but gave herself credit for reaching her 50th wedding anniversary by allowing the married years to be counted cumulatively. (Laughter) the occasion for the first of the many photos that I have collected of the people who have worshipped and carried out the ministry here over the course of decades was the annual rummage sale. We don't have the annual rummage sale anymore, although Christina and I are offering our own little memento of that, a small rendition today. We've made our first late night pass of books and stuffed animals, and they're on a table out there. If you see anything you want, please take it. And or anything that you can think of a home for, please take it. And then if you are able and want to, you can make a donation of any size to the youth camps and service projects in return. Otherwise, just take it. It needs to go. But there was a time when that rummage sale was a really, really big deal, both in terms of effort and in terms of the church's financial well-being. Volunteers would spend all week setting it up, and then one very long and exhausting Saturday morning moving the inventory and feeding all the shoppers. The number and the variety of programs, potlucks, fundraisers, learning opportunities, camps, service projects, and ministry activities that we have shared together, no matter what date each of us individually arrived here and became part of this community of faith, cannot possibly be detailed or counted. Suffice it to say that we, like the first followers of Jesus so long ago, have spent much time together. We've devoted ourselves to the teachings of Jesus and those who walked with him. You heard them referred to as the apostles. We've broken bread over and over again in one another's homes, in the beach, at the park, at Cedar Glen in the mountains, in our social hall, at our favorite restaurants, and here around Christ's table. We've prayed many prayers, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of joy and sorrow, prayers expressing our hopes and our longings, prayers in search of God's comfort and God's peace. We've enjoyed getting to know one another and learning from one another. We've had many opportunities to support and encourage one another. We've given of our resources for the sake of those who are in need. We have held this church and all of its buildings and its ministry in common. We've all shared in caring for it, strengthening it, improving and expanding it. We have received the grace of God with glad and generous hearts. And at times we've been in awe of what God, in God's steadfast love and faithfulness toward us, has been able to do among us in our lives and in the world. At the heart of our shared lives and ministry, we've spent much time together praising God in worship. And as with that early community of eager and enthusiastic Christians, the Lord has added to our number. Many saints among us, many of those I named earlier, have gone on to the life that is to come. Many others have said yes to new chapters in their lives and moved on to other places. But even so, we are a larger community now than we were 23 years ago. We have more children, more youth, and more adults than we did when I and my children and my parents first arrived here. I give God the credit for this great joy, and I'm extremely grateful, as I imagine that all of you are, for the opportunity to get to know many wonderful people that we have had the privilege of serving and sharing in ministry here with in this community. I feel we've had that same privilege described that the community of believers share described in the book of Acts. Because the love of God has been and is our guiding force, God's love has a way of making itself real and visible. We too also have been able to enjoy the goodwill of the wider community. People around us can see at least some of what is going on here, and they appreciate it, whether they're able to take part in it regularly or not. Earlier this year, when we were installing that new landscape at the front of the house that's adjacent to our driveway into our parking lot, I was spending a few minutes every morning admiring the progress of the work. And during that time, I had two different complete strangers approach me on the sidewalk and ask if I was a pastor, and then proceed to say how much they admired the congregation's ministry. That was just in the course of 1 week, just a few moments every morning outside on the sidewalk. So imagine what I might hear if I spent more time hanging out on the sidewalk. Another time I tend to hear a great deal of appreciation and goodwill expressed for our ministry is when we have the occasion to host a funeral or memorial service and celebration of life. When friends and family gather here to mark the death and reflect on the life of a loved one, there are usually quite a few in the crowd who have very little experience of any kind with church or with worship. Or maybe, sadly, the experience that they've had hasn't been so positive, and so they don't really know what to expect when they come here, or else they're expecting something kind of unpleasant. And, of course, then also they're bringing all the emotions with them that go along with loss and with change. It's kind of amazing to get to witness the surprise and the relief people feel when they experience themselves being accepted and welcomed and comforted here. Leaving the service, they remark in sort of wonder and astonishment on the beauty of the sanctuary, the quality of the music, the helpfulness of the prayers, the authenticity of our faith and our hope, the friendly and gracious hospitality of the members, and the way that we know each other well enough to give a full and uplifting account of the life of the one who has joined the saints in glory. This is just one of the many good outcomes of spending much time together, loving God and loving one another. We're able not only to honor each other well when one of us finishes our course in faith, we're also able to share encouragement and hope with a wider community of folks who then have a tendency to feel a little more open toward God and receptive to God's light after they have spent time with us. It is no small thing to have the goodwill of all the people, and we can be thankful to Christ Jesus for his life, teaching, death, and resurrection, which, after all, is what has called all of us here together to be his body and continue his ministry in this place. A woman by the name of Katie Butler recently wrote an essay about her father's death, in which she expressed regret for the fact that she has always chosen to practice her faith or her spirituality privately and has never taken the opportunity or taken advantage of what's been all around her in terms of communities of people who are seeking to put their faith into practice together. She's always pursued her spiritual practices off on her own. And then it wasn't until she was feeling very alone and without consolation and unable to find anything sacred or meaningful in her father's final illness and his death that she came to the realization, oh, that's what the community part, the spending time together over the course of weeks and months of years part is for. Only through the flesh and blood of other imperfect human beings could religion have guided my mother and I through my father's death, she wrote. Thankfully, near the end, Katie did think to ask if the hospital could send a chaplain, and she did find comfort in the scripture and the conversation and the prayers. But imagine how much more support and help she could have received if she had allowed herself throughout her life to be part of a community like the one described in the scripture, which day by day spent much time together, broke bread and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praised God, and grew in number as more and more people were touched and drawn in by God's grace. This is what the church is about, no matter who the pastor is, creating a community that lives consciously and deliberately in the love of God. On this Mother's Day, as we celebrate how God lovingly mothers the world through us by offering food and teaching and encouragement, I am very glad to be part of such a life-giving and hopeful endeavor. Holy God, thank you for gathering us together around this table, where we can commune with you and find friendship with Jesus and with one another. Thank you for your nourishing grace and sustaining love, which abides with us and carries us forward throughout our lives. Thank you for all mothers whose flesh and blood imperfect humanness comes to us in many forms and guises. Thank you for all these mothers who nurture us in so many ways, loving us and guiding us on our pathways. We pray today, O God, for mothers who are suffering from malaria and other illnesses and ask that our efforts and gifts might bring health and hope. We pray for mothers whose hearts may be breaking with grief or frustration and ask that our efforts and gifts might extend your comfort and light. We pray for mothers in need of extra strength and patience and ask that this community might be a source of help and encouragement. We pray for peace on this Mother's Day, as is the intent of its tradition. We pray for peace in our hearts, peace in our city, peace in our church, peace in our nation, and peace throughout the world. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways we have failed to contribute to peace on earth, and prepare us now to receive from your hand the broken bread as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.